I need thee every hour.
This morning's scripture reading is from Job chapter 28, verses 12 through 15. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. You may be seated.
Good morning. Congratulations once again to our graduates. And I forgot to mention that they have prepared tables out in the foyer with demonstrating some of the things they've done over their high school careers and even over their youth growing. And so be sure and check that out. And if you have a card or a little gift for them, put that out there at the table as well. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to gather and worship God. This morning, as we think about seniors, and I try to tailor my lesson each of these senior emphasis days around that thought, but I also believe that this lesson can apply to all of us, no matter the stage of life we're in. And I've entitled it, In All Your Searching. One of the most popular books to give graduates is Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go. And in that book, it represents, as only Dr. Seuss could in his style, all the different places that graduates will often go in life, and how life holds all these uncertainties and mysteries and explorations before us. And when I think about that story and I think about how these young people have so much before them and about how in some ways they seem in their own mind like they are older now. They've grown up. You know, it's like this transition. And how those of us who have done that, some of us decades ago, realize there's still so much before them. And certainly we're hopeful and we're thankful for all that potential and all the future that is before them. And that made me think about a character in a chapter in Job that I want us to draw our lesson from. And so if you have in your Bibles, turn to the book of Job. Because you may think, well, Job's an odd place to go to think about seniors because Job involves this great suffering. But in the book of Job, we have Job who thought he understood life in chapter 1. And so in Job chapter 1, you read about how Job had life in his hand, if you will. Life was going perfect. In the opening chapters of the book, we read about how he was extremely blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters, verse number 2. He possessed 7,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep, isn't it? 3,000 camels. Goes on to talk about how many yoke of oxen and donkeys he had, and many servants. And then he talks about how he would offer sacrifices to God just in case his sons had sinned. And the opening verse of this describes who this man was in verse number 1. That man, Job, was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. But then you know that there's this interchange and dialogue between Satan and God. And God brings up his servant Job. And God offers him to Satan as a test. Will he curse God? Does he serve God for naught? Is the question. In other words, he only serves God, Satan says, because you have blessed him. You've given him all those sheep and camels and sons and daughters. You take away those blessings, God, and Job will curse you. And so then the next few chapters tell about how Job has brought all kinds of hard times and difficulties upon him. He loses his wealth. He loses many of his servants. And he loses his 10 children. And he still does not curse God. And then God allows Satan to afflict his physical body because Satan says, but you let me touch him and he'll curse you. And so boils break out all over his body and he sits out on a trash heap in ashes using broken pottery to scratch and try to relieve his hurting. And three friends come from a great distance away and they do good for 7 days. They don't say a word. They sit with him for 7 days. And then they start speaking. And they try to tell Job how he has sinned awfully. And Job, your sin must be really bad because you're suffering really bad. And they have a formula. And basically their formula goes that all suffering is a result of sin. And therefore, Job, you are suffering because of sin. And their answer then is, Job, you must repent. And Job is confused. He starts to complain to the friends. He starts to be upset at the friends and say, y'all don't understand. And then he starts to vent his anger, his frustration at God. And he says some very harsh things toward God. And finally, he will even swear his vow of innocence, saying, I tell you, I am not suffering because of sin. I'm not a perfect man, but in no way does my suffering equate to the sin that I've done. And then we get to our text, which is Job 28. And I want you to turn to Job 28. And in Job 28, you have what is often called by commentators an interlude. It's like a parenthesis in the book of Job. And your Bible may say Job said this in the topic, but it's most likely the case that this is put in there by the inspired author who recorded all the things it said. And this is a poem, it's very similar to some of the Psalms, a hymn to wisdom. And let's read this and let's notice some things and then we'll see how it fits in the book of Job and we'll see how it fits into our lives. Let's begin by noticing the first few verses. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold that they refine. For iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches out to the farthest limit. The ore in gloom and deep darkness. He opens shafts in a valley away from where anyone lives. They are forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air, far away from mankind. They swing to and fro. Now this is an interesting description of ancient mining practices. He says they'll go out in the desert and they'll dig deep shafts or they'll find where there are places down in caves or in the crevices of the rocks and they will hang like we will rappel in adventure sports. They would hang from ropes swinging back and forth to chip away and to get these precious jewels, gold and silver and these things. And Job is saying, or the writer is saying that they're in dark places. Notice, as for the earth, verse 5, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. That path no bird or prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. It's not where they find these metals and precious jewels. There's no animals, no birds flying there. The proud beasts have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. Man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. Man can, even in their day, could mine and use shovels and use all types of animals to actually, you know, dig down deep into mountains and searching. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about how we as humans will go to incredible depths to search out and find valuable things. That we'll risk our own lives. We'll hang from ropes to get a diamond. That we'll go down deep into the earth. We'll mine deep into it. We'll overturn a mountain by digging into the mountain just to find precious, valuable things. Now he's going to talk about wisdom for a moment. He says in verse number 10, he cuts channels in the rocks and his eyes see every precious thing. He dams up the streams so that they do not trickle. And the thing that is hidden, he brings out to light. But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? We read off a lot of lists of things that our young people have done, and we think about all the knowledge and all the things that we've accomplished. And all of us, Bridges talked about how blessed we are and all the blessings that we have. We have all these valuable things, and we've done all these valuable things, but where do we get wisdom? Do you travel to a library? Do you go out into the wilderness and go on a hike and spend time alone to find wisdom? Do you go to the aged, to your granddad, and you say, "Tell me wisdom," and you just learn it and you have it? Do you go to the Kindle bookstore on Amazon and you just read hundreds of books? Is that where wisdom is found? Where is wisdom found? Notice he says in verses 12 and following that wisdom cannot be purchased. Man does not know its worth. It is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." The sea says, "It's not here." It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed its price. You can't buy it. You can't search for it and find it in the desert or the sea. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or in sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. Cannot be purchased. Notice he says, continuing on, that wisdom is ultimately found with God. Skip down to verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? Where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abandon and death say, "We have heard of the rumor of it with our ears." God understands the way to it, and He knows its place. So we can search and we can find jewels, but he says you can search the world over and you really can never find wisdom. There are certain mysteries in life that you can search for and you'll never understand. There's certain complicated areas of life that you can go and read every book, visit every library, and you'll never find it. Continuing to read, he says, "For He looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He gave the wind its weight and appointed the waters by measure, when He made a decree for the rain and the way for the lightning of the thunder, then He saw it." God saw it. And He declared it. He established it. And He searched it out. God is the only source of wisdom. He's the source of true wisdom. God knows all wisdom. But we don't have access to everything of God, do we? We don't have the complete mind of God. Now, we've got Scripture. We've got the mind of Christ. We've got the revelation of God in Scripture. But think about Job. This is in the middle of Job. Job chapter 28. Chapter 1, Job has everything figured out. He understands God. He understands forgiveness. He understands equality and justice. He understands blessings. He understands sin. He has it basically figured out how he thinks life works in his mind. Chapter 2, 3, and following, it all gets blown up. And all gets blown up. And Job says, but this isn't the way I understand life. And his friends say, but this is the way you should understand life. And Job says, but that ain't the way I understand it. That doesn't make any sense. And so they're going back and forth. And they're all offering these different ideas about how we should understand life. And chapter 28 comes along and says, guess what, guys? Y'all can go out and mine for all the gold you want, but you can't buy wisdom. You can't even know all wisdom, because wisdom is only with God. In fact, it says, and this is the conclusion, verse 28. Read verse 28. He said to man, here's what man has to do. Behold the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding. This is the basic message of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. The rest of life involves a lot of vanity, a lot of searching, a lot of confusion, and you're not going to understand everything. But listen, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. In fact, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are going to talk a lot about wisdom and the search for wisdom. And it basically says over and over, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. And so what I want to say to our graduates, what I want to say to our young people, what I want to say to all of us, no matter your age, that in all your searching, in all of your life, you're going to have a lot of searching, a lot of places you're going to go. You're going to involve yourself in a lot of relationships. From friends, your relationship with your parents is going to change. Relationship with your grandparents and your extended family is going to change as time goes along. You're going to have kids probably one day, and that's going to be a dynamic, changing relationship too. You're probably going to, and you often feel stressed because you're interested in dating relationships, and then, Lord willing, you'll probably get married one day and you'll have a marital relationship. And there's going to be a lot of wonderful things about that and all these relationships. But sometimes you're going to have things about them that are going to be mysterious and confusing. You're going to think you have even figured out some things. And then you're going to realize that after you got married, you really didn't know her that well after all. And you're going to want to know, where is the book I can read? Where is all the answers? Who knows all the answers to all these relationship questions? You're going to want to know where wisdom is. And then you're going to go to college. And in college, you're going to hear professors that have, quote, expert knowledge. And maybe they're going to say things that are different. And even if you go to Christian schools, sometimes you'll have influences. Or you may have some Christian friends who are doing things that are wrong. And yet they're living a very hypocritical life. And it hurts your faith and it discourages you. And you're going to be receiving all this information. Some of these things you're going to be confused. You're going to say, where is the knowledge? Where's the wisdom? Where can I go to find the answers to these things I'm struggling with? I am just confused because I had life in a box and now my box is getting blown up. And then you're going to go and you're going to have tough times. As you go through life, as you think about life, there will be at times difficulties. You may lose those grandparents that you held so dear. You may go through a difficult breakup in a relationship. God forbid, but you might even experience the rejection of a spouse and go through a divorce. You may lose a child. You may lose a job. You may have a person you respected more than anybody else on this earth let you down by going into gross sin and leaving the church. And you're going to say, where is the book of wisdom? Where is the knowledge? I will search. I will go wherever I need to go and I will find it. I will hang from the rope and swing back and forth so that I can have it. Because what you thought was life has gotten blown up again. and it didn't go the way you had it planned. In fact, you're going to have all kinds of dreams. And some of the dreams you have, you're going to realize, really, you wanted them badly, but now later on you're thankful that they did not come about. But you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be excited because you fulfill your dreams. You're going to be thankful. But all the ways, as you go through all these things, the ups and downs, you're sometime going to be asking, where's wisdom? What you're saying is, how do I know what to do? I have the knowledge. I can get the knowledge. But how do I know how to apply the knowledge? And you're going to ask people and they're going to say, well, here's what I think. But you know, that's a tough situation. I really don't know. I'll pray for you. And you're going to say, well, that's a good answer, but I really want to know. Well, somebody just tell me. They're going to say, but I don't have a crystal ball. I can't look into the future. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And you're going to say, where is wisdom? What do I do? Now, I want us to go back and remember this, that true wisdom is found with God. True wisdom is found with God. Knows. God has all wisdom. But what does verse 28 say once again? What does man have a responsibility of doing? When you don't know what you should do, you come back to the basic things of life. Fear God and turn away from evil. You see, it's not given to us to know all the answers. It's not given to us to understand all the mysteries, the whys of life. In fact, as you continue on and read this book that we call Job, you think about chapter 13, verse 15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And you think about what happens after chapter 28, which was really setting Job up. Chapter 28 is this parenthesis to help Job realize and help the reader realize, hey, all those questions Job has, all those difficulties Job has, he's not going to get his answer. He's not going to understand. In fact, you know more than Job ever knew. Job never knew about the interchange between God and Satan. He never understood all about what happened in the early chapters. But I want you to read chapter 42. And in chapter 42, you have the answer that you and I must come to when we go through the difficulties and the challenges and the mysterious things of life. Notice what Job says. After God had appeared to him, and God did not answer all his questions, God showed him that he was God by asking him a bunch of questions. And Job couldn't answer any of them. And then Job says, I know that you can do all things. Remember that. God may not do it, but never lose the faith that all things are possible with God. You don't have the power in and of yourself, but you know who has the power. I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Know that God is in charge. God is in charge. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? That's what Job had said. Job had said, why are you hiding so many things from God? There's going to be times where God seems like He's hiding things from you. It is mysterious. Why will God not just reveal what His plan is when I'm struggling? But notice what Job says. Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. That's what God said to him. And notice what Job says, verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes. Job says, you know what? And hear me on this, folks. We don't ever always know all the answers we want to know. We don't find all the wisdom we need. But it's about understanding God is the source of wisdom, and we trust Him. We put our hope in Him. You see, as Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 7 tells us in that famous passage that many love and cherish, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. You see, ultimately, God is the answer. And that in all of our searching, in all of life's ups and downs, in all of the experts out there that are trying to tell you this is wisdom, this is knowledge, remember this. It's really pretty simple. The fear of the Lord, never quit fearing the Lord, never quit respecting God, never quit remembering He can do all things that are possible. Never quit fearing the Lord, and never quit turning from evil. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. And so when you are asking yourself, I don't know what to do and I'm confused, my box has been blown up, the way I understood the world has been blown up, what do I do? You come back to what you know. God is real. God is all powerful. I will fear Him. I will obey Him. And I will turn away from evil. And one day, it's probably going to be on the other side of eternity, but one day on the other side of eternity, I will know wisdom. And I will understand at that point. But right now, I'm going to keep trusting in Him, because one day I'll understand. And so in all your searching and all that life takes you, all the blessings, all the new homes and the new children and all the things you'll have in life that I hope you have, and the new jobs and the difficulties, always remember, fear God, keep His commandments, and turn from evil. That is wisdom. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, if we can help you with any of these things, then come as together we stand and as we sing.
I need thee every hour, most gracious.